Hi, Entrepreneuristas. I am so excited to finally reveal our big news that we've been waiting to share with each of you. We are launching the Entrepreneurista 100 Awards, and applications are officially open. Are you a standout founder who deserves to be recognized and honored for all of the hard work and dedication you've put into building your business? Or perhaps you know a fellow Entrepreneurista who should be nominated to be on our list? You can head over to entrepreneurista.com/100 to apply to be recognized on the Entrepreneurista 100 list. That's entrepreneurista.com/100 to apply today.
I cannot be a one-man show. It's not possible because I lack expertise in the areas that I lack expertise. And you have to kind of admit that to yourself. You know, you can't be everything.
The Entrepreneurista Podcast Network presents Startups in Stilettos, your guide to getting your business off the ground.
We're your hosts. I'm Jessica Abo, media trainer and journalist.
And I'm Stephanie Carton, co-founder of Entrepreneurista, Socialfly, and Market. Each week, we'll talk to a new startup founder about how they turned their great idea into a business.
And then Stephanie and I will answer their questions about taking that business to the next level.
Get ready to grow your business and put your best heel forward. Hi, everyone. Today, I'm sitting down with Dr. Najwa Javed. She is a foot and ankle surgeon based in Silicon Valley and the founder of Imar Italy. Najwa recognized the need for women to have beautiful footwear that made them feel powerful and beautiful, but without the pain. Using her background as a surgeon, she created footwear that supports your feet, eliminates pain, and makes you feel feminine and powerful. Najwa, I am so excited to finally sit down and have this conversation with you and hear all about your incredible Entrepreneurista journey. And I know you are just getting started with your new business in the past few years, but you have been in practice as a doctor and surgeon for many years. So I cannot wait to hear how this business came to be. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me today. I am so excited. And I have to tell you, if I was going to come up with a podcast, it would have been Startup in Stilettos. So thank you for doing this, because this is right up my alley.
Could not be a more perfect podcast to do today with your footwear brand. And I have a little secret about my feet. Are you ready for this?
Oh my goodness, I can't wait to hear it. Go ahead.
So when I was 15 years old, I was the youngest patient my orthopedic surgeon ever performed a double bunionectomy on.
Oh, wow.
So
amazing.
Our 15. Podcast Startups in Stilettos, the funny part is I actually never really wear high heels or stilettos because I have very sensitive feet, if you will. So when I heard about your line, I'm like, oh my goodness, I might actually be able to wear heels and wear nice shoes because I really haven't been able to.
Oh my God. This gives me goosebumps. It was meant to be, Stephanie. You had to meet me today. Okay. This is what it was. So my youngest patient that I've ever done a bilateral bunionectomy as a juvenile has been 14 years old. So It is true. It does happen. And our patients do fantastic, but you are correct. Like there is a limitation in footwear after that. So we can talk later about how to help you get the most gorgeous shoes.
I don't think I've ever shared this publicly before. So here's all the secrets of Stephanie's surgeries. So I would love to hear, you know, you have a background as a doctor, surgeon, incredibly accomplished surgeon. Tell me how your business came to be.
I spent my whole life just wanting to become a physician, really working hard, grueling hours, lots of schooling. And I thought that was it. Like, you know, I graduated, I became an attending surgeon. I was a part of a medical practice. I was teaching. I was like, I'm done. I'm like doing good. But, you know, like, as with an attending, like I would end up going to a lot of social gatherings. We would have a lot of patients who would come to see me. And over the years, what I ended up developing is that people would be like, Dr. Javed, like, you know, we don't want to wear this shoe. Like, come on now. Like, can you tell us if there's another shoe that I could just wear, like just a one-off? Like, I don't want to wear my New Balances everywhere. Like, there has to be something else. And you know, I've been practicing for 15 years and we've had a lot of brands that have emerged recently. But, you know, even up to like 10 to 15 years ago, it was kind of really limited, even in the athletic shoe gear department, what you could wear that looked good. So I just started researching for my patients and for my friends and my family and for myself, like, okay, what's the problem? Like, how can I help? Like, I know the foot, I know the body. What's wrong with the shoe gear? And I just found that there had been a really strong lack of innovation in shoe gear for a really long time. So we only had two dimensions. One was comfort and one was luxury style. And there was just nothing really in between. So my girlfriends and I were out on a girls' weekend in Monterey, California, because I'm in California. We were all sitting in a hot tub, soaking our feet after a long day of just walking around in our heels. Everybody was in pain except me. And they were like, this is ridiculous. How come you don't have any pain? And I was like, oh, it's because like I know how to buy heels for my feet. So they were like, you have to teach us. You have to teach us. You have to teach everybody. It started like that, just teaching somebody how to buy heels, how to wear heels. And they were like, Najwa, you have to build this. Like, there's nobody else who can build this. You got to build it. And I was like, you're joking. Like, I don't know how to build a company. It sounds like a lot of work. They were like, how hard can it be? Why don't you just Google it? And literally, that's all I did. I Googled how to build heels. And that was it. That was the beginning of this whole amazing, amazing adventure.
What year was this?
This was 2017.
Okay, so take me back to 2017. You Google how to build heels. When did that evolve into realizing, okay, I'm going to launch this into an actual shoe company and business?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I was completely naive. And I think like, you know, for most entrepreneurs, if they kind of know what they know at the end of it, they probably wouldn't start. But I was so naive. And I was just like, you know, I had two really young kids. I had just bought out a medical practice. And I was like, you know, this can't be that hard. Like, I mean, how hard can it be? I mean, come on now, we can do surgery residency. This cannot be that hard. So I just decided to Google how to build heels and I started to research and I was like, oh, you know, like I took some classes. I found some advisors that were like, oh, well, you know, this is how heels are built in like the UK. And like I met with other creative designers in New York and I was like, why do you guys build them this way? Like, it doesn't kind of make any sense. Like, why can't you make them more comfortable? And they were just like, hands up. Oh my God, this is like the holy grail. Everybody wants it, but nobody can find it. So don't even talk about it, Najwa. Don't talk about comfort heels. And I was like, wow, like, why can't we even just talk about it? And they were like, because it doesn't exist. So I was like, okay, you know what? Like, there's something wrong here. So I decided that I was just going to use my medical expertise and figure that like, okay, if you're in a high heel, what should your foot do? What is your posture doing? Where are your pain points? How can I fix it? So I initially built a really thin orthotic prototype that I had been building for years, customized for our patients. And then I would try to put it in their high heels and it wouldn't work because the pitch, the angulation was all wrong. Because I had so much data, I had like hundreds and thousands of x-rays that we had taken over 15 years in our portfolio. So I was able to call the lab. They were able to design by my specifications through these models, this orthotic. I took that orthotic and then I started to test it in heels and that seemed to be working better and better. Finally, I was able to find a manufacturing company in Italy that I really wanted to work with and I just wanted them to test it, just to test if the idea would work. And so they actually took my idea and they were like, we'll build you one prototype. We're not really into this, but we'll build you one prototype. They actually built a prototype for me. And then we took that prototype, they made four iterations of it, and we started to test it. And the iteration that worked the best became our first ever shoe, which was named Aiden after my son. That's how the company actually came into existence, because we could actually prove that our model worked because our orthotic that was built inside of our shoe was just so amazing. Like, it would just rebalance all of the areas of high pressure. And then we could do x-rays because I'm a practicing physician. I get to actually x-ray people using this. And that a lot of other designers, as well as even doctor-founded companies, don't have the ability to do.
You know, it's really interesting, and you'll see this as you go out for your fundraise in 2023. But with VCs, a lot of times they're looking for, like, why are you the person to build this company and no one else? And you have that answer and that credibility right away. Like, it's you. You're the one to build this. No one else can build this because you have access to all of this information, all of your knowledge, all of your patience. You're definitely the one to do it. So thank you for sharing that. And that leads me to talk about your upcoming fundraise for your brand. What made you decide that it was time to raise capital?
as I said, like when I first started, I didn't think that it was going to be that difficult because I don't come from a background of business. I come from a background of medicine, and medical school does not teach you any business techniques. You have to learn them. So coming from medicine, I was like, okay, we have an idea. There's a hypothesis. We tested our hypothesis and now it works. And so we were going to implement it and we should just get capital just because of that. Well, that doesn't happen. Like you really have to get your financials. You have to have your numbers. You have to have a deck. You have to have all of these things. You have to have legal. And I didn't have any of that in place because I had been focusing so heavily on the R&D of the product, how to diversify our product. I'm very blessed that, you know, I didn't have to have my passion project, which was building EMAR, become a project out of desperation because I was able to fund it. And so, you know, I had some friends and family that helped, you know, initially to invest in it. And then as a physician, I had some income that I could put aside to actually do the R&D, really test the waters. So now that we've tested it, now that we have the product up and running, we've had sales, we've had some metrics, we have the things that VCs want, now we can actually raise. And so we're really heavily focusing in this last quarter of 2022 is to make sure that our financials are up to par, bringing in experts who can help us with that, as well as making sure that our legal is on board. Because, you know, I don't know the difference between a safe and a convertible and yada, yada. Like that's completely, this is like new language for me. It's like somebody telling me, oh, I need like a BID. What does that mean? Oh, you know, twice a day. Like you wouldn't know that if you were not in that field. So it's exciting.
Well, I love that you took the initiative to join our Entrepreneurista Raising Capital group to learn all of these new things. And I truly think when you invest in yourself and you invest in your business and you're able to learn with other founders who are going through something similar, it definitely helps for sure.
Oh my God, 100%. Like the Entrepreneurista League has been something completely life-changing for me personally. You know, it's been a very lonely journey in Silicon Valley, even though we have a lot of founders, but most of them are tech and we're a retail e-commerce space. And so that's not really here. And so try to understand the dynamics of running this type of a startup. It's very different than any other. And the Entrepreneurista League, including, you know, like our raising capital has been so fantastic for me. And I've been listening to you and all the podcasts. I always take back golden nuggets and then I write them all down because that helps me. Like, I feel like I have my advisory board sitting in the room with me every time I drive down from my house to my office, which is like 30 minutes. And that's how long your sessions are.
I love hearing that. And that's why we started this podcast and all of the content that we do in our community, because it can be very lonely growing a business, especially if you're a solo founder, and being able to hear other people's experiences and journeys. It's how we're all able to learn. So I have a couple of questions for you that I know other Entrepreneurista listeners are probably wondering after hearing your story. Do you have specific business tools or solutions that you've been using to really help get your business off the ground or to help streamline processes in your business?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. So for me as an e-commerce platform, one of the biggest life-saving tools that I've been able to use has been Shopify. I mean, it's an amazing platform. It was really easy for me, a novice, to get started with it back in 2020 when we actually launched our company. The apps are really easy to implement on there. And so that has been one of like my biggest personal tools that I've utilized. After that, it's the Google G Suite. That's been amazing. Like all the assets, the creatives, you know, we have a patent pending on our company, and to be able to get all the creatives for that, all the legal documents for that. I mean, it's a lot of documentation that you have to have. Nobody realizes it. Where are you going to store all of it? And, you know, it was kind of getting difficult with Dropbox. And so we actually have the G Suite. It's been fantastic for me personally. And then obviously, I've been hearing a lot about Notion, so we're just really utilizing that as well. And Canva, which has been a big, big, big help for us. So those are like my three main things, and that's what I usually utilize on a daily basis to run the company.
Oh, yes. I completely agree with all of those platforms. We run our businesses also on Shopify and Google Drive, and I don't remember what life looked like before Canva.
Oh, what did we do?
We had to figure out Photoshop and Adobe Suite, and not that those are not great platforms, they are as well, but for Entrepreneuristas, Canva is definitely our go-to as well for everything. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I would love to hear a little bit more about how you balance or integrate your, I will say, your corporate job working as a doctor with launching this startup business and also balancing life as a mom as well. How do you make time for it all? Do you have any tips or secrets you can share?
I think that's such a great question because I think that there is a certain type of person who really is able to do this. Honestly, I don't know if you would call them like a type A or a perfectionist or highly efficient or organized. I really don't know what the term is, but it seems to be like every woman who is in my space is kind of like me. We're extremely highly efficient. We optimize times, you know, we block times out to really focus on the task at hand. We can multitask, you know, if we needed to, but we are able to really get our time in for our children, our home, our work, our startups, as well as even exercising. Because I think, you know, one of the biggest things for me is that when you have so much going on, you kind of forget about your own self wellness and health. And that's like at the forefront for me. And so I try to take out time, even if it's 20 to 30 minutes a day for exercise, because it's just so rejuvenating for your body and mind. One of the best things that I can tell you is that, you know, I try to be highly focused in whatever part of work that I'm doing. So like if I'm in my clinical hours, I'm highly dedicated to my clinical hours and I will make sure that I see my patients. I'll do my surgeries. I'll optimize the time there. When I go home, my kids get my attention. They have to have dinner. We have to have our activities. Homework has to be done. And then I take out time, two blocks of time to actually do my startup. People always ask me, like, you know, especially some of my VC mentors, we really want you to be dedicated just to EMR and, you know, away from your clinical practice. And I tell them, I'm like, I will be there eventually, but my company has been built on this ability to actually test my products on patients, which is just so amazing. And so it's really helped me to be able to do both. I practice clinical medicine and surgery 2.5 days a week, and then 2.5 days a week, I dedicate specifically to EMR. And it's more than that, obviously, you know, because they do overlap.
We're all working around the clock.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, I don't feel tired because I feel like whatever I do, I optimize it.
I love that. No, thank you for sharing that. Hi, Entrepreneuristas. Stephanie here. Are payment processing costs sinking your business? Could your business be overpaying on each one of those transactions? It is time to stop letting an outdated payment system hold your business back. PaySafe connects small business owners with modern, customized plans and solutions designed to save you time and money, because nothing is more important when running your business. From customized plans to the latest equipment, find out what the future could look like for your business when you start saving with PaySafe Small Business. To learn more, visit paysafe.com/ENTPOD. That's paysafe.com/ENTPOD to learn how PaySafe can help you grow your business. Can you share a little bit more about the team that you brought on to help you with EMR or freelancers? Who are you using to help optimize the business?
Oh my God, this is a good question. So I cannot be a one-man show. It's not possible because I lack expertise in the areas that I lack expertise. And you have to kind of admit that to yourself. You know, you can't be everything. We have a fantastic team. So I actually hired a consulting team who does a lot of the creative design for luxury footwear. They helped me actually to build the initial designs of the shoe. We didn't want to use a pre-existing shoe's last and just add the orthotic because it was not going to be technically correct. So we actually had to design the orthotic first, the inlay. It's 1 millimeter carbon fiber that had to go into a shoe. So we had to create a shoe around it. So they actually helped to do all the specifications. I was able to meet them through these networking events, and it was great. We have a PR team that helps us with PR that I met through. That one was through Create and Cultivate, you know, which is another platform. And so I was able to meet a lot of people by just really networking and asking, hey guys, this is what I'm looking for. I would really like your help. My legal team was introduced to me by a VC firm that I was asking as mentorship. And they were like, Najwa, this is a great female founded company. Cause you know, my medical practice is female founded, female run, and also is my business, EMAR is as well. And so I've been able to get really amazing people on board just through connections. And now my new financial advisor. They're coming in. He's the first guy on our team, but he's fantastic. And we're actually hiring a media company that can just really help us with our marketing because we have bootstrapped the whole company from the beginning, like literally no marketing dollars, nothing. But now that we're doing well and we were picked up by Nordstrom in 2021 at the end of it, which is amazing for us. And so now we're wanting to be able to bring it and scale it and help women across the masses find that they have an option if they want it.
I love hearing that. Thank you for sharing. Can you tell me about this Nordstrom's connection and launch and how it came to be? Because I know many of our Entrepreneurista League members, I even see people post sometimes in the community platform, they're looking to either get to buyers or for recommendations on how to get in front of buyers at some of these big retailers. What was the process like for you?
Great question. Oh my goodness. And a heavy one. So I knew that I wanted to be at Nordstrom's from the beginning. That was just one retail brand that I wanted to be associated with. So Nordstrom's has this great ability to actually respond to you if you call them, which a lot of other like retail companies don't. So I was able to get a appointment with the VP of women's shoes at Nordstrom's. And this was back in 2020 when we had just launched. And they were like, sorry, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're not really carrying women's heels. Like, we love your idea and you're really qualified, but sorry. And that was like devastated me because, you know, I had like built the whole company on this pretense that I was going to be at Nordstrom and it was going to be fantastic. But I gave it some time. And then when we started to build a little in 2021, I reached out to them again and I was like, hey, guys, you know, we've been doing really well in 2020, even with the pandemic. I'd just like to talk to you guys. So they connected me. They had an interview with me. I sent them a sample of our shoes just so that they can see it, try it. And they were just really amazed. And they were like, you know, this is a really good product and it's a solution that we don't have in our portfolio right now. So we would love to give you a try. And that's how it started. And I was so thankful for that opportunity because it is very hard to break in. And since then, I've reached out to a lot of other retail buyers. And you're right, like it's very hard to get in front of them. I think that the key thing that I would give my fellow entrepreneuristas as a tip is that just because they say no, don't just fall back and just go into like this deep spot with yourself, which is really dark. It's okay. I know your heart's not on a platter and you really want them to take it, but sometimes you may just need to follow back. You know, I did that. I followed back like 3 or 4 times. And then they were finally like, okay, you know, let's give you a try because I knew that they would be surprised. So I'm doing that with the other retailers that now we're trying to get in front of and we'll see how that goes.
I always say a no just means a not yet. Just keep going and keep reaching out. And you can also learn a lot when someone says no to you. You can ask them questions as to why, because then if there's certain things they're looking for in the future and maybe you needed to like hit a certain sales goal or they wanted to see certain styles come out, then you have that information to then be able to go back to them later to get that yes.
That's a fantastic point. That's a fantastic point because it's so true. I have received more no's in this than yeses, but I will tell you that every one of my no's has helped me create a brand and a strategy that has been better than I could have thought of ever in my life because I just didn't know, because I didn't know. So a no is always a yes to me because you can make it better then, for sure.
Absolutely. You just have to ask for that feedback, ask those questions, and then it's on to the next, right? Follow up with them later, but on to the next, you just have to keep going.
Yeah. And you know, the next person that you follow with, you won't make that same mistake because now you know that, oh, I should have said this. So that has helped me a lot too. So if that person is just not going to be on board, I'm like, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. But the next person I go, I'm like a step ahead now because I know what they're going to say.
Absolutely. Are you in Nordstrom retailers in store or only online?
We're only online right now because in order to be in store, you actually have to have a lot of inventory and our inventory is quite expensive. So that's what 2023 is going to be for. So that's why we're actually doing our capital raise so that we can get enough inventory so that we can be in the retail side of it. Our shoes are handcrafted, so they take a little bit of time to come from Italy. That's just our sustainability aspect of it. So we really want to make sure that we do this correctly and have the raise appropriately in place before we do it.
Makes complete sense. Well, I do want to ask you, do you have any questions for me that I can help answer for you today?
Yes. I mean, I would love to pick your brain all day, but If I could ask you a question, is that you have just the most gentlest way about you, but I know that you have been so heavily successful. And I want you to answer, for an introverted entrepreneur, how do you see them opening doors for themselves when it's a pretty competitive and aggressive landscape sometimes?
Great question. I don't know if you would believe me if I tell you this, but I actually consider myself pretty introverted. I feel like I'm great with like one-on-one conversations. I love recording, you know, the podcast and having these conversations one-on-one. And when I'm speaking in front of a group, like a large group, I'm fine speaking. But like at big events and a lot of people around, I would actually much rather be at home in my office, like on a screen like this, recording a podcast just one-on-one. I actually am pretty introverted. So for me personally, I've just had to find like what feels comfortable for me and figure out ways to be able to mold how I am to like get to the next step or get to the right people that, you know, make sense for me to be in front of. But I actually consider myself pretty introverted.
That's amazing. I'm so surprised. I would have never guessed, but I guess that's great, right? Because like, I feel pretty introverted myself sometimes. And it kind of makes me feel like, oh, great. Like, we don't all have to be very extroverted to be able to build something amazing and like have a network. And that's a really great advice, that you could just be yourself. And you know what, you just have to find what works for you. And that's fantastic.
And I will say, like, for me too, especially with social media and, you know, being public and talking on Instagram and doing stories, you'll notice on like on my personal Instagram, I tend to create more content around sharing content about our members, our community, using text and me not speaking direct to camera, because I get uncomfortable, but I'll push myself sometimes. Like, I'll go through a span where I'll push myself to like get on camera and do it because it feels uncomfortable. But I know that it's important. And I know that when I do, you know, speak to camera and talk to our community, like it is helpful. So like, that's what gets me to do it. But if I never had to be on camera or in photos or on video, I wouldn't do it. So I do have to like push myself and get out of my comfort zone to do it. But I know most people, when I tell people that, they're like, what? Really?
I would have never guessed. So you had me fooled. I love it.
So I mean, look, it's not easy, especially when you're, you know, stepping outside your comfort zone. I will say practicing does make things easier or better. I remember when we first started our podcast, even being so nervous, just recording. We used to record in person actually in New York City before the pandemic. But once you do things over and over again, like it seems, you know, like you second nature. And now I don't have any nerves, like obviously, you know, having conversations like this because I've done it so many times, but still going on Instagram and speaking direct to camera, it's still hard.
I feel the same way. You know, my PR team had told me a long time ago that, Najwa, you know, you are an expert. So you're a thought leader. Like, you should have an Instagram. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I don't want to have an Instagram. But it's been really amazing because that's been our biggest way of organically, you know, getting consumers who actually believe in the product. They actually relate to the product. They see the pain points that we're trying to solve as a mommy. Like, you know, I know all my girlfriends go through the same thing. And especially if you've had surgery, like, then you're like, oh my goodness, I'm really limited. So I get a lot of feedback on there. And that's helped us really develop our product for the masses because it's such a big platform.
Yeah. And look, going back to that with just knowing that even if you're uncomfortable showing up on Instagram and doing those things, like ultimately you are helping people. So it makes it easier to just do it and just show up. I think that's what's really gotten me through. So I definitely relate and completely understand. And I think just knowing, I think a lot of people are introverts, but are almost made to have to put themselves out there, especially as business owners, because now, you know, personal branding is really so important to grow your business brand. People want to do business with people that they love, that they trust, that they feel connected to. And it means that we have to show up and be there for everyone. So I'm with you. I feel you. Any other questions that I can help answer? I don't know if that actually answered your question, but hopefully made you feel a little better.
No, I totally did. I think that was great. Like, it just makes me feel better knowing that, you know, like not every entrepreneur has to be able to talk in front of masses and just feel comfortable, but they can practice and they can get there because that's really helpful. I guess the last question would be is that do you have any advice me going into raising capital? Like, what would you say? That would be really great. Any pearls of wisdom would be much appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you're already doing the right thing by being in the Raising Capital Power Group and putting a process together for yourself. I would say being extremely organized in your outreach and in your follow-up and building a CRM and making sure that, you know, again, when VCs pass or say no, like it doesn't mean that it's a no forever. Ask them for intros to other people in their network, whether it's other VCs or other angels where the opportunity could be a great fit for them, because it just might not be in the thesis for the investor that you're speaking to, but they might know two other people that it could be a great fit for. Or maybe they know an influencer or someone that would want to try the product and want to talk about it. Always ask for something else, especially if someone says no, and definitely get that feedback. Doesn't mean, you have to take all of their feedback, but always ask for it and just stay as organized and efficient as possible would be my advice.
I got my planner ready from Lauren. She's like, Nasha, here's your planner. Let's go.
She's going to keep you on the right track there. Do you have a dream connection through the Entrepreneurista League that I could help make an intro to for you?
Oh my God, yes. Ugh, I've been listening to you guys for so long. So like Sarah Adler from Wave Capital, like she's like in San Francisco. She's a native of San Francisco. She just sounds amazing. Her dad was a doctor and innovator. And I love her journey. I love the fact that, you know, everything about her is just seems something like her mission. It seems to resonate with me. I would love to talk to her one day. And also Kimberly Scotty, like with her Fig One and 8VC, like there's so many skin brands out there. And I love the way that she approached it. She wanted to start from scratch, nothing that was already done, because we built Emar the same way. It came from scratch. We had to build from the inside out. Like that was our initial tagline, built from the inside out instead of just like the outside in. So I would love to be able to talk to people who have actually been a founder, who've done it, and then, you know, created something and are also now on the investment side where they can really help you and see where your pain points are and grow. Those are like my two people that I was really, and even Jacqueline Johnson from like Create and Cultivate. I've met her so many times, but she seems somebody amazing because her connections are just so heavy, and we all wear heels to her events. So why not a pair of Emars for everybody?
Well, I'm actually recording her podcast right after this recording today. Literally in 15 minutes, I'm recording her work party podcast. So I will definitely mention you to her, and we'll connect offline and I can make some intros for you for sure. And I have another VC who I think could be a good connection for you as well.
Well, thank you. Much appreciated.
Of course. Do you have a dream business collaboration in mind?
Yes, Gucci, for sure. House of Gucci, come and collaborate with Emar Italy. Like, it's just amazing. I don't know if it was Lady Gaga playing, you know. Gucci has just been a brand that I just think is so amazing. Whatever, you know, the whole house of Gucci is just fantastic. And I would love to do a collaboration with them. And it's kind of like when you see Birkenstock, you know, do it with Louis Vuitton or with Chanel. It's just like, it's such a cool thing. Like there's art support plus fashion. I would love to do something like that because that's what I really want. I want women to wear whatever they want and look and feel beautiful without, you know, constantly injuring themselves. We're just tired of it. Women are just tired of being in pain. Like we just want to be happy and wear things that make us feel beautiful, but also keep us well. And that's what I want to do.
Well, I am with you. I cannot wait to wear your shoes because Courtney will attest to this. No one has seen me wear heels in a very, very long time. I wear flats to everything because of my feet. So this is very exciting. We have to offline about a couple of things. Also, we should definitely tag Gucci in this clip when we share it on social. So let them know you're interested in a collaboration for sure. You always got to put it onto the universe to make it happen, right?
Yeah, I hope Alessandro Michelle is like, yes, Najwa, I will partner with you.
Have you ever reached out?
I haven't, but I am going to. I have been giving myself positive affirmations for the last year to just be like, Najwa, we're going to do this. Come on now. We're going to do this. This is your next goal. I have to visualize my goal and then I go for it.
Perfect. No, I'm with you on that. Put it onto universe, visualize it, and then go out and reach out. And what's the worst that someone can say? No, which means not yet.
Not yet. Exactly. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for spending the afternoon with me and sharing your incredible entrepreneurista journey. I am so excited to continue to follow all of the incredible things that you're going to do. And like you said, this is the perfect podcast for you to be on Startups and Stilettos for your shoes. So I am glad that our listeners are all able to learn about them. Where can everyone find you and follow you? And for our listeners who are interested in buying your shoes, can you share your website?
Would love to. So on Instagram, our handle is @shopemar. Emar is spelled E-M-A-R, and it stands for Elevated Medial Arch Rebalancing Technology. So you could be at shopemar. Our website is also www.shopemar.com. My personal Instagram handle is Dr. Najwa Javed. And you can find every type of tip and advice for foot wellness and health on there. From Louis Vuitton to Chanel's to Emar, we cover all of them. Even if you're runners, we have it all there. So I would love to connect with you guys. I would love to see what you guys are thinking. And yeah, and we're also at Nordstrom. So if you go to Nordstrom and put Emar, you can find our collection there.
Amazing. I will be shopping right after this podcast. So thank you so much for inventing these incredible shoes. Thank you again for being here. I'm Stephanie, and always remember to put your best heel forward.
You've been listening to Startups and Stilettos, the show that highlights your peers in the startup world and meets you where you are to get you through your biggest challenges and towards your biggest goals. For additional episodes, extra content, show notes, and more, visit startupsandstilettos.com. Did you love this episode? Leave us a review and send us a screenshot via Instagram DM @entrepreneuristas, and you can enter to win a one-on-one mentor and strategy session with me. We're drawing a new winner every month, and I cannot wait to meet you.
Have you been wondering, what the heck is Web3 and how will this impact my business? Well, we were too, which is why we are so excited to announce our newest show on the Entrepreneurista Podcast Network, Web3 with MCG. On Web3 with MCG, host Michelle Cordero Grant breaks down this new wild world by covering the essentials and making it all approachable and creating a space for listeners to get involved. Learn alongside Michelle as she explores the next generation of the internet and all of the opportunities it offers for each of you. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts or head over to entrepreneurista.com/Web3 with MCG and join our Web3 community over on Instagram @Web3 with MCG.